So I have no financial relationships to disclose, but I forgot the slide. Elaine, thank you for inviting us here today, because this is a really important, it's important for community health workers and health educators to speak with each other. And here in APHA, this is a perfect opportunity to do that. I want to point out to everybody, and I have extra copies of this, the community health worker section of APHA is vibrant, alive, and well. We have our social hour tonight at 6:30 here in the hotel. We have our general open business meeting tomorrow, and we have a lot of great sessions in between all day long for the next 3 days. So I welcome you to come to those. So I'm just going to give a little bit of a background on community health workers as an emerging profession and sort of how some of this sort of fits with the health reform opportunities that we have here in Massachusetts and on the federal level. And also, so it's sort of like a two-way street here. Community health workers have enormous opportunities in health reform, but community health workers have also provided great input to the forming and shaping of health reform. So to just get right to it, we have as well a definition of what community health workers are and what they do. As you can see, there's a lot of overlap with health educators. This has been a process of definition over the last, I would say, 20 years at least. And this is a Massachusetts definition, but it's based on a national survey that was done in 1998 across the country. And what I'm going to do is really kind of jump to, because we're really tight on time here, is just to sort of try to distinguish how community health workers are unique and different. That's what I find myself doing in every single room that I go into. Community health workers are hired primarily because of their shared lived experience with the communities that they serve. And how they get recruited into the field is often not from an education program, but from being actual members of the community that's really hard to reach. And then they're often trained after they're hired. So they may, and when I use the word community, it's in the very broadest sense of the word. It can be the HIV community. It can be the disability community. It can be the Latina community. It can be the maternal and child health community. And what's needed to promote the workforce is clarity and also policies on roles, competencies, scope of practice, and sort of this work around defining them. I would say that all the work that we've done has been with these two goals in mind, which is to promote better sustainability, funding, integration, understanding, incorporation, et cetera, into the healthcare and human service delivery system, but while at the same time retaining the grassroots nature of this profession. And that is it's a tightrope act. It's a really fine line, and I'll just sort of really say that the way that we are doing it here in Massachusetts is with significant community health worker input. That is, it's not others defining the field, it's community health workers themselves that are leading up efforts to actually say what they do, who they are, who they serve, what they need in order to be most effective. this is a sort of a Massachusetts case study because, as was mentioned, we've kind of led the way on some of the health reform efforts. Community health workers in Massachusetts have been supported through our public health department for many, many years. There's been investment by our public health department in both community health worker policies and in training, in convening key stakeholders, and developing guidelines and contract policies. That is, all of our community-based vendors need to adhere to certain standards around training and supervision for community health workers if they are using Department of Public Health dollars to support that workforce. We did get federal funding back in 2000 from HRSA through the Maternal and Child Health Bureau to support the development of a CHW network in Massachusetts and to study the workforce. And then also through the 90s, and again, this is a 20-year effort here, we've been the beneficiary of three wonderful core training programs for community health workers in Massachusetts. We've had some strong community health worker leadership and organizing in Massachusetts and leading to the formation of the Mass Association of Community Health Workers in 2000. And it was the partnership between the Blue Cross Blue Shield Foundation of Massachusetts and the Mass Public Health Association, the Department of Public Health, and MACHWA, the Community Health Worker Association, that laid the groundwork for the inclusion of community health workers in our health reform law. So I use this graphic by way of saying I think what's important to do is just to really be poised and have your collaboration and your goals in mind before, so that when there is a window of opportunity, you can go through it. Oops. So just to jump forward here, just setting the context nationally with community health workers, we see some really significant markers in the emerging profession. We see that APHA has obviously taken great strides in promoting the profession here and creating a venue. The unequal treatment report that recommended the use of community health workers to address health disparities. HRSA did a 2007 workforce study. And there was the establishment of the American Association of Community Health Workers, which developed a code of ethics. I bolded the two here that are probably the most important, and that is a distinct occupational classification in 2009 for community health workers, and we're working with the Bureau of Labor Statistics now, Elaine and I are both doing that, for the inclusion of community health workers and health educators in their occupational outlook handbook. They have a little trouble keeping them separate. And so we're trying to give them a little technical support around that. And then the inclusion of community health workers in the Affordable Care Act, mentioned as a health profession and mentioned three times in the Affordable Care Act. We were very happy to see that. So what we've identified on a national level is these key policy areas for change, and this has been highlighted by CDC as well. We need to be looking at financing, workforce development, occupational regulation, and common metrics for research and evaluation. This is what we're seeing across the country, the darker states being the ones that have the most policy activity, but this is changing on a day-by-day basis. I'm sure it'll look different after this meeting. So our health reform law mandated the Department of Public Health to convene an advisory council to conduct a workforce study into the use and funding of community health workers and how they contribute to reducing health disparities and to make recommendations to the legislature. And our key findings, and I'm going to highlight that's what this session is about, is how we were able to use community health workers here through outreach and enrollment grants to enroll and retain people in health insurance, to link them to primary care, and to encourage the use of preventive care amongst populations that had previously been so hard to reach. The other findings were that they improve healthcare quality, reduce health disparities, and improve service delivery and reduce healthcare costs. And that's, of course, of great interest, always. We made recommendations on a state level that are very similar to the national recommendations that were made to move the workforce forward. And it's all summarized in this HAPH article in 2011. So we're working on now developing a certification program here in Massachusetts. It's a voluntary act. It's called a Title Act. That means it's voluntary. You will not be required to be certified as a community health worker to practice. But in order to call yourself a community health worker, you will need to go through the certification process. The certification board meets at our Division of Health Professions licensure at the Department of Public Health, and it includes all of these members, their statewide geographic representation, and across sectors with large community health worker representation. It's chaired by the Commissioner of Public Health or his designee. And this is the provisions of the law that we're going to be looking at, what it will take to be certified as a community health worker through either training or experience or a combination thereof, continuing education. We're going to be certifying community health worker training programs, tiered practice levels, and the word exam is up there. It's in the law, but we're not going to be using an exam. We're going to be using some performance-based method of assessing proficiency in core competencies. This is our timeline, which we're really down deep in the weeds here, right, really articulating what are the sub-competencies for each category of core competencies. And these are our 10 core competencies here. And I don't think there's really time for me to read them, but because running out of time here. But you can see this is. I just want to say that this has been developed over 20 years, over consensus, collaboration, input from diverse stakeholders, payers, community health workers, policymakers, providers. So these are the four pieces of Massachusetts legislation that relate to health reform. There's more detail about where we're going with our most recent health reform, which is our cost containment legislation that was passed last year. And there are some great opportunities for community health workers in that. And maybe there will be time in the question and answer period for me to get into some of these, but basically, this cost containment law really wants the Department of Public Health to prove that prevention works. And so there are great opportunities for community health workers in that. There's federal opportunities through CDC. Our whole state government is getting on the bandwagon here as far as the Attorney General's office providing funding now. The community college system is interested. Our Medicaid agency is obviously interested. This is my last slide. The most recent thing to come around, which you maybe all talked about already, which is a new CMS ruling that was issued in July of 2013 that will allow payment for preventive services by non-licensed individuals if it's recommended by a licensed provider. And it may sort of break the field wide open. It will require amendment to the state Medicaid plan at the state level. So we're really trying to get a grip. It goes into effect in January. We're trying to really get a grip here at this meeting about what's going to happen, what needs to happen at the state level for that. Some resources and my contact information. 10 minutes? Perfect. All right, great.